And we're back.
Welcome back to Nonsense and Nothingness, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear it?
It sounds so much better than it did before.
I would sure hope it does.
Yes.
And I can actually look at you when I speak to you now.
This feels weird.
We're having an actual conversation.
Yeah, we are. We are having a real conversation. So we just changed our setup a little bit. We upgraded at the microphone position. We drafted in the first round. Got ourselves a beautiful Yeti, and it looks awesome.
It's pretty sexy, not gonna lie.
It looks blue, and it's big, and...
It's navy blue, it's big, cylindrical.
Just like my favorite things. I mean, it just looks cool.
No, it looks great. We might have to throw up a pic on the Instagram.
Oh, we definitely will.
So you're going to have to check it out for sure.
Okay.
But hopefully y'all enjoy the audio a little bit more now that it's a little bit more clear. You can hear all of our voice cracks.
All the things we don't want you to hear. You can actually hear us at the same volume.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
You might be able to hear us breathe. We don't know how this is going to work yet.
Yeah. We should wear masks when we do this to prevent...
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, but well, anyway, welcome back to Nonsense and Nothingness, the podcast about anything but...
I am Seth, your host.
I'm Connor. I'm just a guy. I'm just
Connor
here.
Connor just is here.
I'm just here. Here.
He's also your host.
But it's a special day with a special mic, and since it's a special day with a special mic, we decided...
To
get a special whiskey that we know that we love because we've done some shitty whiskeys.
We have done three... Well, actually, that's not true. How many crappy whiskeys did we do in a row?
We did...
Well, if you include Evan Black...
See, Evan Black is not as bad as those other ones, but it wasn't great.
Then we had the $12 scotch.
We had the McGregor.
McGregor. And then we had the $2... Heaven Hill.
Yeah. Jeez. And they were both really bad. The McGregor was worse, though.
It definitely was.
Just to be clear. So, we brought back the TX Blended Whiskey. We won't talk about it too much because we all know you've already gone and bought yourselves a bottle based on Seth's recommendation.
You really should.
Yeah. If you can, you should.
I'm excited to taste it again and see if it lives up to the hype.
I hope that was as satisfying through the mic as it was
in real life. Okay, pour it up.
But here you go, Seth.
Oh, my God.
A healthy glass for you and a healthy glass for me. And cheers to a new chapter of NNN with good audio quality.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, we're back. And, Seth, I have one simple question for you.
Oh, God. Okay.
You ever... just seen a girl?
I've seen several.
And it just makes you think.
About what?
You know.
Yes, Connor. Yeah. I'm a guy, so whatever other
you get
half
what
of
saying.
That sentence is, I got you.
Well, that didn't happen to me today. It happens every time I look at my beautiful girlfriend. I love her to death. But
she's great.
She's great. And she listens to every single one of the podcasts because she's supportive.
Good for her.
She's talented.
She's a heck of an artist.
She is a heck of an artist. But the reason that I pose that question is something I've been thinking about this week. Is what do you think attracts college-aged women as a college-aged man to you?
So you're saying what do girls find attractive about guys?
Yes, correct.
You know, it's tough. It's really tough. I was thinking about this today, okay?
And every other day ever.
And every day of the year.
Man, this stuff is good, by the way.
It is very good. It tastes amazing. You should go back and listen to our podcast about how amazing this whiskey is, because it is amazing.
Seth loves this whiskey. Like, I really like this whiskey, but... through doing these episodes, I've realized Seth doesn't really like whiskey.
No.
But... which is weird that we do a whiskey of the week when he doesn't really like whiskey.
I love it.
But he loves TX.
It tastes like a warm vanilla cookie on your mouth, but it also has alcohol.
You know, that's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty accurate.
I mean, it's just such an upfront taste of vanilla, but it's still... it's not, like, flavored. It's not like Jack Honey. It reminds you that you're drinking a real man's whiskey.
I could drink this for a long time.
Absolutely. But to answer your question, Connor, I was thinking, and I was driving into my apartment complex today, and I saw...
These are where all the thoughts happen.
Yes. And they recently opened up our pool, because it's that time of the year.
I saw some hooligans there.
I was looking at the same hooligans on my ride in, and I was thinking, man, those guys look like your average, you know, dudes... fraternity people that I see around, like the dudes who are going out every night, like I know the crowd, I'm looking at them, I'm like, yeah,
that's it.
And then I'm also like, man, like what qualities are in those people?
just a broad what qualities, not even good qualities, just qualities.
It's tough because the average perception of a frat guy is, oh, like they pull all these super hot sorority girls all the time, and you know that may be true, but the average fraternity guys don't look good.
You're
like,
right.
Like, an, I would say 80% of fraternity guys, like, have a little bit of a beer belly going on, like, still trying to ride that natural athleticism from high school that they totally left
there.
Like, a lot of them don't work out. A lot of people just drink beer all the time.
Yeah.
It's a crisis. So, like, as far as physical appearance, I don't think that's it. As far as what makes like the average college age guy attracted to the average
I think age girl. I think if you have the physical appearance thing, I think that helps.
Absolutely.
And I also think freshman year female versus senior year female are two very different things.
Different.
Totally just different. Like freshman year male and freshman and senior year male are two very different things.
Being a freshman is is the ultimate icebreaker. Okay?
Yeah.
Because when you meet a freshman and you're a freshman, you guys have like 27 different questions you can ask each other off the bat.
You're
right. Where are you from? What's your major? What dorm are you living in? What classes are you taking? That you can bullet through.
Have you been hazed yet?
Yeah. Are you in a fraternity sorority? Yeah. Like, hey, you know, like you find your way around campus.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? There are a million different questions freshmen can talk about. But if you're a senior and I'm a senior, like, hey.
What's up? We've been here. For a while.
I know you. You're one of those people. Yeah.
I've seen you around.
Cool. I thought college was going to be like super non-niche-y, but as soon as you get to like the upper level classes and like you kind of have your set friends, there's not this as much of an incentive to go out and really talk to new people as much as there is freshman year.
Oh yeah, freshman year, that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a pro tip for all of those who may be starting to be freshmen. Just go meet people.
As many as possible.
As many as possible. Most of them are going to be duds and you're not going to want to be around. Maybe you're a dud, but you're probably not because you're listening to this podcast.
And if you are, this is a chance for you to turn your life around.
Exactly. This is going to become a self-help podcast.
Oh, gosh.
But in all seriousness, go meet people. The way that I look at it is if you live in your dorm room, there's a problem. You should only sleep there. You get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying. Could you ever study in your dorm?
Hardly ever.
Yeah. I was kind of that same.
Mainly way. Just because I could study in there if I was by myself, but whenever you're in a 15 by 15 box with somebody.
Right.
If they want to listen to music, if they want to watch TV, if they want to, I mean, it's just going to be a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I couldn't. But also I do my best to try and separate work and school and things of that nature from like what's supposed to be a restful area.
Right.
I don't always do great at that, but I try. So
I agree with that. I think that's so key, is separating like where you work and play and like, you know, where you do like leisure activities like watch TV, surf, YouTube. That mm-hmm. should not be the place where you study.
Because like if you study in your bed,
it's a conflict of interest.
You're not gonna either. You're gonna fall asleep while you're studying, which that's a no-go, or you're not gonna be able to go to sleep because you're gonna be stressing about all the studying you should be doing.
Yeah,
you know, where it's like with me, I always study on campus, and whenever I leave and go home, like I'm pretty much done.
Right.
And so if I'm at home, I'm not really gonna study.
I like that philosophy.
So yeah, that's kind of the move. But back to the original question.
Yes.
If it's not looks, see, because I think I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's social status. I think looks is a thing that's in there. But I think looks is less so for girls, more so for guys. Like, guys are looking for the hot girls.
Absolutely. 100%.
Girls are looking for, and this is super clickbaity, but for, and I don't necessarily believe in this idea within humans, but they're looking for the alphas, the guys who are very confident in themselves.
Right.
That's what I think that they're looking for. Because you'll see this dude who's like a 4, and he's got his pedo stash because he's the stash pledge,
right,
or whatever, and he's got this 8, 9, or 10,
just an absolute dime piece,
beautiful
girl
on him.
Yes, that happens.
Just on him.
That absolutely happens.
100%. And so you start to, but it's a pattern. Like, it almost always happens. Mm-hmm. But stash pledge, I don't know why I've gravitated to this, or just any pledge, just the goofy
pedo guy,
the goofy guys,
right,
oftentimes end up being the most confident, and freshman year is wrought with insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's what it is. I think confidence is huge.
I think confidence is the key, but the question then becomes, where does the confidence come from?
You make it up.
I believe it comes from experience. Like, I think
that would help. Yeah.
So if you've talked to a girl, if you've talked to like 15 girls in your life, and then you go to freshman year of college,
you're going to be overwhelmed.
But if you're one of those crazy funny guys who's for his entire life has been like just chatting up random girls, like practicing his skills, even though he's totally like failed, but has kept going and like learned from his mistakes,
get better.
And yeah. Then once you've met your 1,000th. Like, girl, you have that confidence, that ability. Like, you know how these conversations are going to go.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that accelerated freshman year, because you have the same conversation over and over again,
which is exhausting.
It is super. You shake so many hands. You, like,
what's your name? Where are you from? What's your major?
Hug people. Yeah. Hey, girl, how you doing? I don't remember your name, but I saw you that one time at that freshman thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that happens. So once you get good at those conversations, freshman year becomes easy. But if you just do what you said and like hide in your dorm, that's bad, because you never learn those skills. And then, you know, you end up with like 2 friends through college, and it's very sad.
Very sad. And so at what point do you think women and men start shifting their views of what they're looking for and what's attractive to them on average? Obviously, you're going to have your outliers.
So your future is like not important when you're a freshman.
It's not important.
And
you can tell via all freshman decisions that, yes, the future is not important.
The future
important.
Is not a main concern. But when people start looking for jobs, I feel like people's criteria just shifts everywhere.
Yeah.
Goes like all over the place, because some people want like a strong supportive type. Some people want to like go roam the world and want, mm-hmm, like somebody interesting. Once jobs start being thrown into the equation, then future starts
gets weird.
Also being, and then it gets weird. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that's about when it is? I'd say probably end of junior year or June, maybe. Yeah. End of junior year, senior year.
Okay. So I'm a firm believer in, number one, for men specifically, confidence is everything, whether you're a freshman or a senior. Even if you're a senior and you landed, you know, a 6-figure job in the coolest city in America, whatever that is to whoever, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're all those things, but you lack all the confidence in the world, I still think you're going to lose to the confident guys. I really do. So, I think confidence is everything to begin with. And then outside of that, I think being authentically yourself, women can pick up on that like that, whether he's putting on a front or he's not. And then I think you have to more or less as a guy figure out what this girl that you're interested in wants and show her how you can give her that thing.
Yes, guys are the most manipulative people. No, I don't know. I like what you said about being who you are, like being congruent mm-hmm. to like who you are. That is confidence.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to put on a front, there's no way you can be 100% confident in that.
Yeah, no, women will pick up on that quick.
And they will. Like women can tell. Women can tell if you're a poser. So just don't be a poser. Just be, you know, chill yourself. That's a lot better. And I don't know. I think the world in general is becoming more accepting of beta males.
Yeah.
As bad as that.
Do you think beta males exist?
Absolutely.
So you think
I could name like 20.
Well, okay, let me throw you this argument.
Okay.
So I agree that there are dominant men and less dominant men. 100%. I'm on that page. But I'm not sure that there is in humans your textbook alpha male. Like if you looked at a pack of, they're not called a pride of lions, right?
Okay.
There's an alpha male there, right?
Right.
The one that he will F up anyone else who even tries.
Right.
And the people who try will try and F him up and fail terribly for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how that works. In humans, I think your alpha and beta male idea changes from situation to situation. So, for example, you take a guy who in whatever X setting, captain of the football team in high school, right? But he's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of dumb. He's not really smart. But on the football field, he's the alpha male, right? And at his high school, he's the alpha male. But you drop him off at, for some reason, Harvard gave him a scholarship to come play football. But he's pretty stupid.
Or you drop him off at the combine.
Yeah.
And then see
what happens. So he's not the alpha male anymore, right?
Right.
And I think that there are so many of those situations and iterations that if you say alpha male, it automatically conjures in our mind that person who no matter what is always on the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you put any given alpha in any situation, he could be a beta in that situation, you know?
I think alpha and beta refers a lot to energy as opposed to personality.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of express like kind of beta, like I don't really want to deal with this kind of energy versus alpha, like I'm going to be on top of it. I'm going to do this. But I will say there are people who display more alpha energy than beta energy. And
yeah,
that it could be place dependent, but also, you know, somebody is going to be on top at the NFL combine. Like somebody is going to be that guy. And people kind of naturally fit into the roles, but I would argue that the people who are more inclined to be like alpha males and kind of understand that experience, or if there's one guy that maybe has, this is like his fifth NFL pro day, he's probably going to be a lot more confident and display a lot more alpha energy at the NFL combine than the high school kid who like just went because he wanted to and is totally out of his league.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I see what you're saying though, but I do think there is a distinction. Like when you think alpha male, it's not personality, it's more energy.
I get what you're saying there. And by the same token, I mean, you could take that high school nerd who at school on the day to day, he gets bullied and it's
wedgied.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah. He's beta all the way. But then at night he goes to his Dungeons and Dragons club and he's the game master and everyone there respects him because he knows
the rules.
He knows D&D better than anybody else, you know, and he's the alpha in that situation. So I think it has all to do with energy and it all goes back to confidence. So if you carry yourself with that alpha energy, that confidence, no matter what situation you're in, which is almost impossible, like there will always be situations where we as individuals are uncomfortable, you know, in which case it's hard to display that energy. But as long as you carry yourself with a confidence, I think you're giving yourself a winning shot, at least. But that's easily confused with cockiness, you know? Like, don't be a douchebag, because that can have the exact negative desire.
So cockiness is kind of founded in some different personality aspects.
Yeah.
Cockiness is, okay, I can... Oh, yeah, I'm the best at this ever, so I can do this better than you. And confidence is, I've done this 10,000 times before. This is not my first rodeo. I know I can get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, I'm just naturally gifted, so this won't be any problem.
Yeah.
Like, those are...
I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Coming from two different places, but they kind of manifest in, like, slightly similar ways, but one is, like, totally congruent, and one is just complete BSing.
Yeah. So, all that put together, let's run a hypothetical here.
Go for it.
Let's take you back to high school, Seth.
Oh, boy.
All right. You're interested in a girl.
Okay.
What do you do?
This is high school.
Uh-huh.
Back at the old prep school.
Back at the old prep school.
Oh, boy.
So you're into ex-female, and she's open to it, but you don't know if she's down yet.
Are we... Give me a scenario here. Are we, like, at the library, like, making eyes, or are we, like, at the...
No. I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, this is gonna go somewhere. I'm throwing you through something. So you just tell me, what's your move? How do you think about this as a high school student? Put yourself back in your high school mind. What do you do?
Okay. Well, so it's a situation where we're gonna be seeing each other a lot, like it's high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just going hard in for the approach is probably not a good idea, because if you burn it to the ground, that becomes a problem for the next years. So
it just becomes awkward for everybody involved. Right.
I mean, you just kind of casually, like, bring it up, and then as soon as you can casually put yourself in the conversation with this girl, into a conversation, then you start going through the questions, start getting to know each other, building connections, mm-hmm. and then slowly move that towards something like a date. I don't
know. Move that towards something like a date.
I don't know. It could be a number. It could be a Snapchat. Do whatever.
No, I like that. Okay, so
that's what I would do.
Now we're gonna fast forward.
Okay.
You're in college, freshman year.
Right.
You're interested in a girl, whether that's to date her or just make out with her or whatever. What do you do?
I love these little pop quizzes coming. Yeah. These are great.
We're having fun today, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. I'm going to drink some more of this Texas whiskey.
Do it.
So the answer for this one is you go in.
Yeah.
You go in pretty hard. So
what does that mean?
It means approach super hard.
Okay.
Because it all comes back to a numbers game, and the fact that there are 8,000 freshmen every year and half of them are female.
At least in Mississippi State, yeah.
It means you got a lot of options, so you can kind of afford to push a little harder, not like in the weird creepy sense, but
no means no.
No means no, of course, but in the sense that
yes, like, sometimes means no. That's why you asked twice.
Oh my gosh. in the sense that you can ask a girl and be more upfront about your intentions.
Okay.
You can go up and be like, hey, cutie, how you doing?
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
You could do whatever.
And see how they receive that.
Yeah.
And it's probably negatively, and so you just move on from there. No.
I mean, again, it depends a lot upon the setting.
Yeah.
So, like, if we're at a party, it would be different than if we were, you know, both at, like, the union.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
But, so, yeah, it's a lot of place dependent, but as soon as you kind of break through that initial barrier, the icebreaker, as soon as you get into the conversation,
yeah,
then it becomes that confidence, like, running through the questions, like, having your responses, building attraction, and then kind of turning that into something.
And so now,
okay,
it's tomorrow.
Right.
You're at a coffee shop.
Right.
You see Cutie McBooty over there. Right.
Okay.
She's looking cute.
Right.
And you're interested.
Okay.
What do you do?
Probably nothing.
All right, let's dive into that. Why is that?
Probably because I have something better to do.
Okay, there you go. All right, there you go. Okay, let's say you were going to do something about it. What would you do?
Okay. I feel like there's this bad perception, but it's kind of true. Like, now we're getting into current day, so it's kind of dicey.
Yeah, that's why I told you we're going somewhere.
Right.
And now we're here.
Man, I feel like if you're two juniors, like, talking to each other, like, two people who have been around
the block.
Right. All the freshman year stuff just doesn't work.
None of it does. They've heard it all.
I feel like you just kind of, at that point, have to be a genuinely nice person.
Yeah.
And as unfortunate as that is, you just be a chill, friendly, cool guy. And you just kind of be yourself. And by the time you're a junior, you've kind of put out your place in life and mm-hmm. you've kind of forged your path. So you can kind of know very quickly if people are compatible.
Yeah.
Based on like life trajectory and interests and different stuff. Because when you're a junior, you're well established. So all the freshman year questions become not open-ended. They become very direct. Like, okay, well, what's your major? Blah. Okay, well, then what are you going to do with that? Is the follow-up, as opposed to, oh, that's so cool, you probably know this person. Because the answer, if someone tells me that they're a biomedical engineer, I can name like 20 biomedical engineers, and yeah. they're going to know all of them, because yeah. that's just how it is.
And so you're able to make a connection based on people.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to make connections, but they mean less, because, yeah. you know, everybody knows mm-hmm. like the one biomedical engineer.
Yeah. I also think a distinct difference between freshman and, you know, junior and senior year is freshman year, your merit is your personality and the organization that you may, or organizations that you may have been able to get into, right? So,
yeah, the beginning of
like,
your
oh, you're a cool career. Person, you're well liked, and you're in X fraternity or sorority, you're in student association, you're whatever, you seem to be on a decent path. You're worth spending my time with, mm-hmm. right? I think once it comes to junior year, whenever you're interacting with someone that you're interested in, a lot of it becomes everyone has their own table, right?
Right.
And on your table, you set your accomplishments and the things that will attract others to you. President of this organization, this GPA, washboard abs, whatever in between. All your assets are on this table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you bring to the table that a lot of people begin to assess. And so that guy freshman year who, sure, he pledged the coolest fraternity on campus and he was pledged class president and everything else, he has a 2-3 in
finance.
Let's
call him out.
Let's shit on finance.
Marketing.
Yeah, he has a 2-3 in X business degree. Turf management and underwater basket weaving. And he just became, his sexual marketplace value dropped
right.
massively, right? And I think that that's a huge distinction between junior and freshman year. And it, like you said, it goes back to future. What does future look like? Freshman, your future obviously matters, but no one cares about their future freshman year.
I really like that analogy that you used about the table. I think that's definitely, there are phases in college,
mm-hmm.
like freshman year, you're kind of exploring and the whole world is open to you.
And your table's pretty much empty at
your
that
table's
point.
Empty.
And so is everybody else's.
Right, but it doesn't matter. And then sophomore year is when you become in these in-groups.
Yeah.
Sophomore year is a lot of the times like freshman year groups kind of prepare you to be in sophomore year. And sophomore year is when you can really start to hit some of these bigger groups.
Yeah.
Applications become better. You get into more stuff. You can kind of pick out what you want to get in. So sophomore year is when you kind of get put into certain categories. You know, that's when everybody becomes an active member in their fraternity or sorority. That's when people apply for the big clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That's when people maybe start their research project or do whatever. And so sophomore year is when you kind of get you line up some categories on your desk. And then all the way through sophomore and a little bit of junior year, you're just putting accomplishments down. And
yeah.
then I agree, by the time you end, it's not so, by the time you're a junior, at the end of your junior year or senior year, it's not so much about what groups you belong to. it's your reputation as a person. You 100%. Become more of an individual as opposed to a member of these groups.
Yeah.
Like you would be as a freshman or sophomore. And it also comes with, as you get older, you learn about more and more people. And you hear about more and more people.
Yeah, I think I like what you said about being the member of the group freshman and sophomore year. It's those groups potentially provide opportunity and open, they give you a platform at the very least, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what you do with that distinguishes you as an individual versus what could have been a missed opportunity, and then you didn't catch anybody's eye. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't want to let them identify you. You don't want your identity to be these groups, although when you're a sophomore and you don't have that much else, it kind of is.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Especially as a freshman. I mean, the groups that you're involved in as a freshman,
huge deal,
are your identity within the college world.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Huge.
And I think some people underestimate that. And I'm not saying when you come to college you have to get involved in Greek life or any specific thing, but you do have to get involved.
I agree.
If you want to have a successful college career, whatever that means, as far as getting to know people, being well-liked, being well-known, doing well in class. I mean, there's correlation to being involved in on campus and having extracurriculars to having a higher GPA, which some people would be like, well, I need to spend all my time on my schoolwork. But it doesn't work like that. You need an outlet of some sort.
I agree 100%. One thing that I wish, though, that I had kind of done differently and that I think should apply is don't get so obsessed with the quantity of groups that you're involved in.
For sure.
Pick one group or one idea and really develop that idea. Like if you're the community service, if you like community service, be the community service person.
Yeah.
Be the one that's doing everything with community service. Be the one that joins Lambda Sigma and does a bunch of other community stuff. Don't be someone who's like, oh, I'm just going to do this one thing here, and then one thing here, and then one thing here.
Yeah, if you half-ass everything, you didn't full-ass anything, and no one saw your efforts.
You're just going to end up on your table with a bunch of participation trophies.
Yeah, and that's not valuable.
One thing about college that nobody thinks about is that you have a lot of time. You have 4 years. So you can give it like all 100% for 1 year for one thing, another year for another thing, another year for another thing, and have four like huge pieces of your self that you can bring together. And I think that's the way to do it, not to get a foot in the door of like 15 clubs and then try and make something happen.
No, I 100% agree. Half-assing everything doesn't win any awards at all. And you're no one's number one. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
And you're taking away spots from people who would otherwise give it their all.
You're everybody's, like, number five.
Yeah.
And that's no good,
right? Nobody wants to be a five.
Yeah. But I would say freshman year is your opportunity to dip your toe into everything that you want to. I think it's pretty key sophomore year to, like, limit yourself to 2-3 things.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I think that's a good strategy.
And so, if that's major sorority, fraternity, and then one extracurricular, and that's it, that's okay. As long as you go hard in those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And even if you're like me, I am my major 100% and Roadrunner 100%.
Right.
And that's it. You know, so I think it's key your sophomore and junior year to not get caught in the yes man boat.
It's so easy.
Yeah, to say yes to everything, and then things will start suffering. Your major will suffer. Your grades will suffer. The other organizations, the one organization that you might care about, will suffer. You know, everything in between. So.
I agree. I've made that mistake of picking too many things, trying to be a part of too many clubs, and then something ends up slipping through the cracks. And sometimes it's grades, sometimes it could be involvement in a club, and that's just kind of one of those learning experiences. But I definitely, and also for applications later in life, if you're going to be applying for grad school or going to a job interview, you want to be, like, this is just in general, but I know people think that they're like a super complex snowflake with so many angles, and they think that there's so many dimensions to me, but that just does not fly for interviews, for applications. You want to have a structured identity of yourself.
Yeah, when you're a resume, you're a piece of paper like everybody else, and either your ink jumps off the page or it doesn't.
Right, right. I mean, your whole life has to, your accomplishments in college have to be reduced to like a page.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to explain a story that kind of tells people who you are, or else you're just an unrelatable amalgamation of random words on a page.
Yeah, and I've talked about this a little bit before on the podcast, but I think that sucks. You know?
What sucks?
In the sense that college is all about...
Simplifying yourself.
Like, I do what I do because I really enjoy doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as extracurricularly, right? I don't really like engineering. Okay. I don't like engineering. But extracurricularly, I love what I do.
Right.
I think a lot of people fall into the trap of they do what they do, and they might do it all out, but they're doing it so that they can put it on a sheet of paper, so that they can hand it to someone, so that that someone sees value in them, so that that someone will approve that they get paid $60,000 a year to do X thing for X company, right? And that's where my problem lies. You know, I think I don't know how to fix it. I won't pretend that I know how to fix it. Maybe it's not broken. Maybe I'm just being a wuss. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate the whole idea of just, you've got to distill these 4 years. So you've got to take these 4 years and squeeze as much juice out of it as you can. And either that juice tastes bad or it tastes pretty good. And some company is going to tell you whether or not you're worth it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which sucks. And that's why I want to build something myself versus, and I think that's what college should be about. I don't know how that's implemented exactly, but I think college should be more about building something yourself and creating yourself versus just being, you know, a warm body for a big corporation.
I wholly agree with you, and I think that's a big problem in the engineering community.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The engineering community is all about go find that one job that you can be at for 30 years and, you know, eventually get to six figures by the time you're ready to retire, and you'll live a very comfortable life doing that. But it's
unfulfilling.
I mean, maybe there are some people who are fulfilled by that, but damn.
Right. Right. The collegiate system is something really interesting. College in itself is an investment in you, in the person.
Yeah.
But people don't treat it that way.
It's a bad investment, by the way.
Right. They treat it like a means to an end.
Yeah.
As opposed to an investment. Because if you did treat it as an investment, there wouldn't be a lot of majors on campus, to put it plain and simple. But
you're exactly right. On it, like, if you do the math of it, there are only so many majors on campus that are actually worth. Most of them are honestly engineering, and that's not just because we're engineers.
I hate to say this, but if instead of coming out of high school, if you knew you were going to go to college for 4 years and be a business major, it'd be more productive for you to just join like an extended internship program for business,
because they can teach you what matters,
right? And you can just go work for this business for like 2 years and then graduate with this internship degree from a company, and then you can work for that company and have like some business experience.
And we're not saying that those out there who are interested in business majors or who are business majors or whatever, that your major is invalid in any way. I'm just saying that on average, based on what your average yearly salary is and the cost across America for education, college is not the best investment for you.
It's definitely not. And
if you're looking at it as an investment, if you're looking at it as an experiential thing, then that's a whole nother ball game. And then you have to determine the value for you there.
Right. That is tough because we kind of go to a school that kind of prides itself in its experience.
It's relatively affordable, especially when you compare across the nation.
I agree. So the question is, why is college such an experiential? Because honestly, what I've heard college described as four is a 4-year summer camp. And then you go
there's
into
some
the real
shit
world.
You got to go through in this 4-year summer camp.
There is, but it's kind of just a little. I think there is some value in college as like a prep for the real world.
Yeah,
like having to figure out how to get an apartment, pay rent. On
yeah,
time.
It's a rarely safe. It's a fairly safe place to mature.
Right, and everyone
and
else
learn.
Is trying to do it too.
Yeah, it's an environment where everyone around you, you're with a bunch of screw-ups because you're all in your 20s and late teens for the most part. So no one knows what they're doing.
Right.
But everyone's kind of piecing it together, and everyone's putting their puzzles together, and some people have pieces you don't, and you're able to look at that and find some pieces and put those together and pass that on to the next people, to the next people that you meet. And I think that there's a lot of value in college there, at the very least forming those relationships and learning those lessons that would otherwise be learned a much harder way with higher stakes, you know,
there's something so American about college.
There really is.
Like the I feel like other countries don't do college like we do college.
Not at all.
I feel like Norway, you just kind of live at home and like you go to your college because the whole country is really tiny. And then you can just kind of pick like a random any college and just go there for free and just learn.
Yeah.
And you just leave. Whereas here it's like, all right, you got to pack your kid up. You got to ship them off 200 miles to the middle of nowhere. They got to figure it out for themselves.
Yep.
It's there's something.
And you're immersed in a culture like college culture.
Different. Absolutely. College towns are totally different than
normal towns.
Just towns.
Yeah.
Why is that, Connor?
One, I think that there's this odd time of year called the school year.
Yeah.
Where there's just a crazy influx of young people.
Right.
Right? And so there's this weird thing of a lot of college towns are, they're these sleepy towns, like if you think about it. Like Starkville, very charming.
Right.
You take the college away, sleepy town.
Yes.
But you have this sleepy town meets college campus, and so you have the district area where there's bars and like this
Main Street
and all the shops. And so you have this college feel because there's attraction because there's still opportunity to make money here. And so businesses come to do that and attract college students. Mm-hmm. And so there's this weird amalgamation of sleepy town meets college nightlife meets football Saturdays if you're in the SEC, and I mean across the nation, but in the SEC it's a religion and everybody knows that.
It is.
And so there's just this, it's this weird combination where in other towns it's people go up and go get up and go to work, and then they go home, and then they go to the store and they buy some food, and then they go back home and they play with their dog and they take their kids to school and everything under the sun.
Yeah, it blows my mind that there are normal people here in Starkville.
Yeah.
But the way I kind of like to think about Starkville or college towns in general is like the gold rush, but on a cycle, on a yearly cycle.
Yeah.
Like and from the time of August to May, like the size of our town doubles.
It's crazy.
Literally doubles like 6 months out of the year. That's or 9 months out of the year. That's
and what's
crazy.
Weird is that half of that population is not producing very much from an economic standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we are just people with needs.
Yeah,
we just
college students needs. College students are more or less, the majority of college students are like 99% consumer.
Yeah, that's so true.
Because all you're doing, all you're supposed to be learning, mm-hmm. right? And learning is distinctly a consuming process. You're taking information that someone is giving you and using it to better yourself, right?
Right.
Sure, there are a lot of college students who work, right? But you're working on campus for
right. You're sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
And like telling
in
people
the library,
where the bathrooms
yeah,
are.
Exactly. So it's the majority of what's going on as a college student is consumption.
It's just the swarm of locusts coming in, just sucking the town dry.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
From an intellectual perspective, college students fill restaurant seats, they go to stores, they buy merchandise, you know.
Right, but in exchange for money.
Yeah, so, but they are making very little to none. Depends on how rich daddy is.
Right.
You know?
There's a lot of weird things in Starkville that could only happen because of that influx of people. Like, you think about all the apartment complexes we have.
Yeah, there's so many.
If the college was gone, there would be so many industries in Starkville that would just
collapse.
Have absolutely just no market.
Absolute mayday.
Yeah, all these apartment complexes, like half the food places around, honestly, it would all just kind of die out. It's all built on this like scaffold of
college students
rolling in every year.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. It's so American.
It's crazy. I bet their margins suck in the summer. I bet in the summer it just
almost fell over.
The face of panic. Seth just almost busted his ass. That was great.
I'm glad we don't record these.
Maybe the mic picked it up. I hope it did. A little bit of panic noise in the back.
Just rustling.
Just a little rustling. Yeah, I do want to record these at some point, though.
Yeah, we can.
If you're interested in us recording these, if you want to see who's talking to you, let us know in the comments.
We'll send you a headshot, and then we'll record.
What?
No, he won't send you any pictures.
But yeah, if you are, leave that in the comments. But anyway, also like and subscribe just while we're at it.
Yeah, you should probably do that.
You should probably
do that. Just go click it right now.
If you made it 40-something, 46 minutes into this episode,
you deserve a
you
like
should
and subscribe.
And you should like.
Yes.
If you don't, I mean, it's okay. You just...
It doesn't mean a lot for us right now, but it's just fun to look at the analytics.
It really
is. And know that people are liking
that
content.
Something I didn't think about.
What?
Whenever we started this whole deal.
The analytics?
That I would just love looking at the data.
Connor, that's the engineering mindset.
Our data doesn't really look like anything, though, because there's 11 of you beautiful people out there, and y'all are great, and we love all of you. We love all of you. But 11's not a lot. And so our analytics are like, oh, look at that little blue blip on Tuesday. Someone watched it for like 20 minutes.
Or
that's
sometimes
freaking awesome.
When like three people watch it at the same time, like we just get this huge spike.
Yeah, gotta love a good spike.
YouTube analytics are great. I'm glad that they give you this information.
This is so good.
That whiskey is really good.
I've had three glasses.
That's... Not half enough.
Not half enough, so I need like seven?
You need seven.
It's really good. I know we talked about it, but dang. Delicious.
It just works. It just works.
You ever had anything that just works? Because Texas whiskey is one of them.
Texas whiskey works?
It really is.
Well, Connor, what would you like your last subject to talk about for the podcast?
I'm going to see Endgame tonight.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I mean, that's a thing that's happening. I finished finals today. I took a nap. Today's been a good day.
Good.
It's been a really good day. And so, I think, what do you think would be a nice, fun last topic? We've talked about girls and we haven't really talked about relationships, but we've talked about girls for a little bit. So
yes, okay.
Let's talk about relationships.
Sure.
Why not? What do you think makes a good, healthy relationship for college students?
So I think it's really easy to get wide-eyed and super excited when you start college because you get to meet a bunch of people your age, and a lot of them are attractive females. And it's really easy to kind of jump into stuff without fully knowing. So I think what makes a good relationship is taking the time to understand each other and where you stand on certain values and kind of date with a more serious mindset, but at the same time, like, have fun. But when you get into relationships, a lot of people, there's a lot of pressure to date, I think. But if you can kind of resist that until you find someone who you can be more serious
with. Who's actually worth dating.
Right. You need time is valuable, and you need to make sure that you, like, spend the necessary time to where you know that it's a good investment.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you think?
I would agree with that. I think this is kind of my viewpoint on all this. I think there are a lot of people who date in college because it would be fun to date that person, right? Yes. Which I'm not saying that that's a terrible thing. I'm just saying if I'm going to date someone, that's a serious investment of time. I'm going to date that person because I think that they could be potentially worth spending the rest of my life with.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So if I just want to have fun with someone, I'm just going to hook up with that person.
Yeah.
Right. I've been dating the same girl for 3.5 years. She's incredible. Because I see the value there.
Right. So you're saying, like, casual dating is kind of pointless and it's just going to get
stupid.
You. It is stupid. I agree.
It's really stupid. But yeah, so I think as far as relationships go, if you find that person who's worth potentially spending the rest of your life with, which also society puts a lot of pressure, especially in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
If you're alone by the time you graduate college, you're going to die alone.
That's the perception.
That's a real feeling that a lot of people have, but it's not true.
Yeah. It's
but it's not true. And obviously it's easy for me to say that because I have been in a relationship for all of college. But it's not true. You don't have to get married right after college. You don't, and you shouldn't feel that pressure. There are plenty of people out there. There are how many billion? 8 billion? Are we up to 8?
We probably are.
We're ballparking 8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
There are 8 billion people out there.
There's just no reason to feel pressured to get married at 22. Like,
seriously.
I just don't, like, when you say that out loud, it seems so obvious, but to a lot of people, they feel that pressure and they're like, I'm going to grow old and I'm never going to, like, find the one and all this stuff. But I don't know. There's a reason half of marriages end in divorce.
You're right.
And I think part of the reason is people make rash decisions and they don't really have a future and they don't know how they can manage life together and they haven't taken the time to realize what an investment this is. The worst case scenario is you start dating someone because you think they're hot and then you end up married for 10 years, have kids, and then it ends in a horrible divorce because you realize you were never really compatible.
Yeah.
That's like the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth that risk.
Yeah, because eventually those washboard abs go away and those boobs get saggy.
Hang low, sweet chariot.
Yeah, I think that's valuable. You got any advice for any college-age men out there, Seth? Freshmen coming in. What's your advice?
Man, if you could just learn how to play a little acoustic guitar.
Ooh.
And that would be...
Your life will get so much
just
easier.
Sit on the quad, get yourself an Eno and a little acoustic guitar. Sit places with some aviators.
Advice.
It'd be great.
You would slay.
Yes, you would. But no, honestly, my advice to college is find yourself a good group of friends that share your values and that you're all kind of headed in the same place. And then from there, you can figure out a lot. I think it helps.
That's fair. My advice that I've always give freshmen who ask me for it is, one, if you're living in your dorm room, that's a problem.
You mean like...
You should only sleep in your dorm room. Okay, yeah, that's what I mean by that. And then two, don't let anybody put you in a box, you know?
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
What I mean by that is be yourself. And just because you're a part of a certain friend group and none of them are going for this one thing, but you're kind of interested, throw your hat in there. You never know what's going to happen.
And don't get discouraged if you get denied
as a freshman. Yeah, because that happens all the time. You, as a freshman, when you're going for something that's competitive, whether that is an organization or a scholarship or an honorary, anything under the sun, it is more likely that you get denied than you get accepted. So keep your head up.
Right. And you got to realize, like, it's nothing personal. A lot, you don't, when you're a freshman, you don't have anything on your resume. You haven't built a body of work. And if you say, okay, I'm going to apply to three things, and it's going to be like Roadrunner and alumni delegates and some other really hard club to get into, like, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you're setting yourself up for failure. So if you don't apply for those things, obviously, but make sure that you can, make sure that if you don't get it, you build a body of work to where you can. And that's kind of like a life in general thing.
Yeah.
Don't expect to be able to just jump over things. You gotta go around them and
through
plan strategically.
Yeah. A nice strategic plan.
Get yourself a trampoline.
Exactly. Exactly. Invest in a trampoline is the main point of everything we're saying.
Right. Save up your money, buy a trampoline, jump over the obstacle. Done.
Game over. But anyway, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Nonsense and Nothingness on this
high quality episode.
Brand new, sleek, voluptuous, sexy, cylindrical, black,
pill-shaped,
blue. All the adjectives.
Yeti.
Microphone. Yeti, blue Yeti. Yeti, blue Yeti. It's just a blue Yeti.
Bidirectional mode.
Yeah, this thing is pretty great. It looks really good. But all that being said, if you've got any questions, comments, you've got some concerns,
we'd love to hear those.
If you've got a sarcastic remark, if you've got right.
a not bad insults, but I'll take funny insults.
If you've got a whiskey suggestion, if you've got
a color scheme you just really would like to see,
if you have a rash and you want our opinion of it,
we can't give medical advice, but we can get pretty close.
Yeah, we can at least talk about it. and so you just send that our way.
We can at least look at how and make fun of
we
it.
We can just be
how
like, awful. Oh, so shit.
Wow, that looks awful.
Yeah, so
send us your rashes.
Send us your rash.
In nothingness at gmail.com.
That's a capital N.
That's a capital N. It doesn't
nonsense,
matter.
Capital N, but nothing. You're right. It doesn't matter. At gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Nonsense and Nothingness.
Yeah.
We love you. You know you love us. We know you love us.
We all know. We all know who loves who.
Everybody knows. We'll see you next time in whatever kind of shenanigans we get into.
And don't forget,
be nothing.